come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week, we are talking about your pick and our first ever Quentin Tarantino movie. And we had to go with... I feel like this movie kind of skyrocketed him into popularity. Am I wrong?
I think in the mainstream, maybe.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like... Yeah, this one really kind of put his name out there.
Yeah. And also, I think out of all those movies, this is probably the most, like, action-y movie.
Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah. But anyways, we're talking about Kill Bill Volume 1 from 2003. Yeah.
Yes.
What made you pick this movie?
I don't know. Just wanted to do Tarantino, and this was an easy pick. I haven't watched it in a while, so yeah, I used to watch this movie all the time, like when it was on DVD and stuff. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
When you messaged me the other day, you said that it was on Crave, but it was only in French. But then you said it's Prime with Hollywood Suite or whatever. I was actually kind of shocked that you don't have this on.
I know.
I don't either, but.
The only Tarantino I have is Hateful Eight and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to add them to my collection.
I have this on DVD, but all of my movies are packaged up. But this is definitely one of the ones that's on that list of I need to upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't mind getting his entire catalog.
Yeah.
Especially considering the fact that he's retiring soon.
Yeah, he's got one more movie coming out.
With fucking Christopher Nolan, man. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
I don't even care what it is. All right. Before we suck Tarantino's dick too much, let's kick off our box office news and booze. And what are you drinking tonight?
I just had a little bourbon tonight. Nothing,
little bourbon.
Nothing crazy, yeah.
All right. What kind of bourbon?
Oh, I don't know. It's some Canadian brand.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I forget what it's called. I don't know. It's not a well-known brand.
Okay.
Say that. Yeah.
I got this a few weeks ago. I got a smoked maple whiskey, and it's not good, man.
Oh, okay.
It's too smoked.
Really?
Like, I don't mind having like a smoky undertone, but like this one is just like it. I don't know. Feels like somebody dropped a cigarette butt in it. Nice. Nasty. Anyways, I'm only drinking vodka, water, lemon, the huge for this month anyways. All right, what have you been watching? Or what are your last four, I should say?
So my last four. So I did watch quite a bit because we were in Toronto for like 3 days, 4 days. Yeah. So like Monday, just Sunday night and pretty much Monday, just I didn't do much.
Veg.
So the last four. So I watched, rewatched The Batman. I realized it's been like 2 years since I've last watched it. And I was like, I gotta rewatch it. So watch that. And then you and I are doing,
The Monster
Hooptober, which, I don't know. It seems pretty popular now. Like there's so many people, like it's crazy. Basically, it's this guy on Letterboxd, goes by a Cinemonster, and he's been doing 31 days of horror, and he has like different categories of what's the word,
like guidelines, stipulations.
Yeah, pretty much the movies you pick. So so worked on that while I watched The Batman actually, and yeah, so finish it up. So typically he starts his on September 15th.
Yeah.
But I just said, fuck it, I'm going to start it on September 1st because, well, have a kid now, and I know I'm gonna have a busy September with work and stuff too. So fuck it, I'll start it. My first movie was Hatching. It's been on my watch list for a long time, and so I finally watched it. It was really good, actually. Good body horror. Some of the story, I didn't really understand kind of what they were saying, but I think I understand it. Yeah, good movie. And then I added 28 Years Later onto that list, and I figured I haven't had logged 28 Days Later, so I said, fuck it, I'll watch it. Yeah, great movie. And then I was browsing Criterion because it was the new start of the month. I would like to see what they add onto it, and they added two of Anderson. What's the fucking director's name?
Not Wes Anderson.
Though it's like WP Anderson or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, and they had Magnolia in Punch Drunk Love. Hadn't seen either of those, and I said, fuck it, I'll throw on Magnolia because it's on my watch list. And fucking amazing movie. It's over 3 hours long, but it did not feel like it. I could definitely see why Zach Cregger kind of made like Weapons inspiration from this movie, because it's all like different characters and it kind of blends in like nice into the same story. Yeah, really good movie. Definitely
Nice.
recommend it.
It's Paul Thomas Anderson.
PTA, I think that's what the people call him these days.
The Parent Teacher Association.
Sure.
Okay. I've only watched four.
All right, well, there you go. It works out.
Watch Thunderbolts.
Nice.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I think I gave it the same score you did, I think.
I don't know, man. It felt good.
It
Like
just felt
the
like Marvel was back a bit.
yeah. It
Like
yeah, after so many
it's just fun. Like the
yeah.
characters and like the dialogue and their kind of camaraderie. It's like, you know, I kind of miss this.
Yeah. It kind of felt like the remake of Suicide Squad. Like it kind of had that feel to it. But yeah, I mean, after so many misses, it just felt good to sit down and watch a Marvel movie that was actually fucking good. So I'm excited to see where they go with this group of characters, and I really hope that they make more movies with them.
What did you think? Because I was watching it, I was like, oh, I didn't know that fucking what's his face, his son was in this. And you're like, I didn't even know that he had a son.
Pullman.
Yeah, he looks so much like him, it's
He does
crazy.
look like him. Whenever you said it, I had Bill Paxton in my head. So I'm watching, I'm like, this guy doesn't look like Paxton at all. And I was like, wait, he said Pullman. And then I was like, shit, yeah, does he ever look like him? Yeah. I watched 10 Things I Hate About You. I was just throwing, it's kind of same thing with you. I was doing my Hooptober list, and I just want to throw something on that I've seen before, so I didn't really need to pay full attention to. And it was on, I don't know, Prime or something like that. And man, I fucking love this movie. It's so good.
It's good, yeah.
Sarah wanted to watch The Materialists, so
Oh shit, nice.
we watched that the other night. It's boring as shit, man.
Is it on streaming or did you rent it?
I rented it. Yeah, it's not great though.
It's like a love triangle kind of movie, I think, right?
Kind of, yeah, but it's like Sarah summed it up. That's what my review was. Hold on. Oh, there we go. Not a lot happened in a long amount of time is what her review of it was. Because I think it's just at 2 hours, but it felt so much longer. And then I also started my Hooptober, so I watched The Breed. That was my first movie. Not good, man. Not good.
I mean, I added it to my list because I saw that on yours and I was like,
Yeah.
this sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting, but I don't know. Maybe you'll like it. I know a lot of people kind of give it like a three that I've seen, but I wasn't a
Nice.
big fan.
Fair enough.
That's it. That's all I watched.
Cool.
I don't know. Did you ever play No Man's Sky?
When it first came out.
So like when it was dog shit, you played it?
Yeah.
Okay, because they just released another new update. Like they've been updating this for
Yeah, for
years
a
now.
few years. Yeah.
But they just released another one and it's like completely changed the game. So I re-downloaded it last night and
Yeah.
man, I was up to like midnight playing it last night.
Oh, really?
It's so much fun, dude. And
Damn.
it's free on Game Pass, so if you want to
Yeah.
check it out.
Okay.
But like you can play with friends now. I don't know if you
Okay.
could before, but it was really fun. Yeah. So that's probably what I'm gonna be playing for the next little bit.
Fair enough.
All right, for our box office, in fifth place, we have The Roses in its opening weekend. Brought in 6.2. And that's Benedict Cumberbatch's new movie.
Okay.
And Andy Samberg. In fourth, we have Freakier Friday, which brought in 6.7. In third, in its opening weekend, we have Caught Stealing, which is Austin Butler's new movie. And man, I watched the trailer for this and it looks so fucking good.
I've heard the opposite.
Really?
I've heard it's not that great, yeah.
Oh no, man. It looks so good. Fuck. All right.
But anyway.
In second place, Jaws has a re-release for its 50th
Oh yeah, I
anniversary.
think we knew that, yeah.
Yeah. Brought in 9.6 million in second place. So it's
Kind of
done
sad.
well. It's done well, I guess.
Doesn't say much about the other movies.
No. And in first place, Weapons is still on top
Okay.
with 10.4 million.
Damn.
It's making bank, man.
It
It's
is, yeah.
brought in 132 million domestic, so it's doing good. And then way down low in 11th place, we have The Toxic Avenger in its opening weekend. Brought in 1.7 million.
Nice.
I really want to watch it though. I'm so pumped for it.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have for 4Ks?
4Ks. We got Get Carter. Very, very young Michael Caine, it
Oh,
looks
wow.
like.
Yeah.
Superman 5 film collection.
That's
That's
sick.
pretty sick. We got the two Jakes. Jack Nicholson.
I like that cover.
Yeah. The Lords of Discipline. Undisputed.
Okay.
Lost in Space. And Salvador.
Okay.
Oh, not very exciting week.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
That Superman collection is pretty cool, though.
I mean, 250 American, that's
I
pretty
feel like that
crazy.
website's kind of inflating shit.
Probably.
Because just the regular 4Ks that are on there, like we can
Yeah.
go to Walmart and get them for like $30, but the
True.
website will have them for like 65.
True.
IMDb. Ready to talk about this movie?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about Kill Bill Volume 1 from 2003. Starting off the synopsis. After waking from a 4-year coma, a former assassin wreaks vengeance on the team of assassins who betrayed her. So it's directed by Quentin Tarantino, who obviously did Kill Bill Volume 2. He's done Pulp Fiction, The Hateful Eight, Django Unchained, Inglourious Basterds, etc., etc. He has a very impressive resume with acting and directing credits and writing credits. Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, he is retiring from doing films, so maybe he'll continue TV or he's writing, I think, is something that
Probably
he wants to
writing,
do.
yeah.
Because he's written a couple books too, right?
Think so?
Yeah.
Well, he wrote didn't he write Dust Till Dawn?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And he wrote True Romance, I think. I
Yeah.
have that somewhere, yeah.
But yeah, I swear he's wrote two books, like based, like movie, not based on movies, but like movies you should watch or something like that, like
Okay,
a kind of thing like that.
probably.
Because he's a fucking freak, man. He is like a fountain of knowledge when it comes to movies. Have you ever watched them on like Conan or any of those? It's wild.
What's your thoughts on Kill Bill Volume 2?
I haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah, the
I
same
think
as me.
I'm gonna watch it this week, I think, though.
Yeah, like I don't even know if I've seen it the whole way through,
Yeah.
or it's just been that long where I don't really remember very much at all. But I think some people like the second one more than this one.
And yeah, I feel like I can understand that.
Yeah.
'Cause I don't know, you get more closure with it, and it's a continuation, right? Like,
Yeah, true. Yeah.
'cause like the end of this movie, you feel like you're just kind of missing out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, for the cast, we have Uma Thurman playing the bride slash Black Mamba. Lucy Liu is playing Oren Ishii. Vivica A. Fox is playing Vernita Green. And David Carradine's voice is playing Bill. I have one, two, four, five honorable mentions, and I was being light. There was probably
Jeez.
about five more that I could have put on.
Okay.
I'll let you go.
Okay, well, one that was kind of really crazy. Oh yeah, okay. So I didn't even know this was his name, the actor's name. But Jonathan Loughran, he plays the trucker, and he's like the guy that has the crazy eye in like all the Adam Sandler movies. Who else? We got June Cooney Mara, who plays Boss Tanaka, and I believe he was in The Wailing, right?
He was, and he was also in Ichi.
Funaki. Trying to remember who he was.
I don't remember who he was, but I saw it
Yeah.
on IMDb that he was in it.
And then I'll just go one more. Michael Parks plays
Yeah.
Earl McGraw, who was in Tusk and Red State.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
The cop that's with him is played by his son in real life as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had all three of those, and then I also had Daryl Hannah, who was one of the other assassins, and Michael Madsen was also one of the other assassins. But we get more of them in the scene. The girl, Gogo, is that her name? Gogo? She was also in Battle Royale. She's one of the students. Anyways.
The guy that plays Hattori Hanzo, Shinichi Chiba, he was the uncle in the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I think he's the one that's like looking after the main guy.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this movie.
Let's do it. Yeah, so I watched this movie a ton growing up. This was just regularly on in our household. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing because of how like crazy it is, but oops. Yeah, so movie opens up with the tagline, "Revenge is a dish best served cold." And we get a black and white shot of the bride. Yeah, it's a little, you don't know her real name because they bleep it out during this whole thing.
Which is so cool, but weird.
And she's like all bloody and she's breathing, and there's Bill's like talking to her. You never see Bill in the movie, you just see his hands and hear his voice. And you hear him like talking, and he like cocks the gun, and then she like says like the baby's yours, and then he like shoots her in the head and presumably kills her. So before I started watching this, I decided that I was going to watch all the Tarantinos and rank them. So I started a list on Letterboxd.
I do it too.
I haven't ranked them yet, but I was like, I put in like the ones that I've like, I know I've seen for sure,
Yeah.
like five of them. I was like, this is gonna be impossible. Like, I feel like this list could literally change any time.
Yeah. I don't know how you can rank them.
But like after like watching this, like I mean, spoilers, like this movie's fucking amazing. I don't know, but but this may be like his most like out there, like kind of like mixture of like genres and like trying things, like the different like camera shots, like different color rendering he's doing. I think this movie has a fucking amazing soundtrack and score.
Yeah, I talk about all that in my review too. Like, Tarantino is such a fucking visionary, man. Like, he, like you said, like, there's one point in this movie, we're gonna jump ahead, but there's one point in this movie where it fucking turns into anime. And like, it's like, where the fuck did that come from? But, and it almost has like a Sin City sort of feel to it, like with just all the different art styles and directing styles. But he's all over the place, but he's like beautifully chaotic. It's so good.
So anyway, so like this movie switches from like black and white a lot, and also like you said, animation, and then also like just different colors and shadows that he uses throughout this whole movie. And then it comes up the fourth film by Tarantino, and which is kind of crazy because like this movie came out like what, 2003, you said? So like, Reservoir Dogs was like 1990, I think, right? So like
And he did
four movies in like 13 years, like seems like not a lot compared to like some directors now, right? Who are like
So
putting
yeah,
out the movies like every 1 or 2 years.
he did My Best Friend's Birthday, which I've never seen before. That was in 1987. Reservoir Dogs was 92.
Oh, 92. Okay.
Pulp Fiction was 94. Jackie Brown was 97, and then Kill Bill was 2003.
So people was probably working on this for a long time.
But
He
then, like,
basically
go ahead.
wrote and shot probably both movies at the same time, right? I'm
Yeah,
guessing.
I would assume.
Because Volume 2 came out the year after.
Yeah. And then Sin City was 2005. He was a special guest director. And then he did the Grindhouse movies.
But he wasn't a director on those, though, right?
Well, he did Death Proof, sorry. Robert Rodriguez did the other one, Planet Terror. But then Inglourious Basterds was 2009, Django's 12, Hateful Eight was 2015, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was 2019. So like every 3 to 5 years, it kind of seems. But I feel like his movies would have to take that long just because of how, first of all, how big they are. And then like all the different art styles and direction styles that he has in each movie. Like the editing probably takes a fucking year and a half alone.
Seriously, yeah. So yeah, the movie cuts to a pussy wagon pulling up to a house, and it's the bride. She shows up to a house, and it's Vernita's house. And this is like one thing I never really caught before, but the timeline like doesn't really make sense to me, because like she pulls up in the pussy wagon truck and kills Vermita, and then she looks at her list and Vermita's the second in line, but Oren is crossed out. And then the next chapter, I think, is like her waking up and doing through all that, and then she has the pussy wagon, but then she goes to Oren first. So like, is this truck just now hers? And when she comes back to like, does she have this truck, go to Japan, and then come back and the truck is hers still? Like, it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird to me.
That's the only thing that makes sense, but it is weird. Like, does she have like a fucking parking garage that she leaves it in or what? Because, yeah, she wakes up out of a 4 year coma, steals the pussy wagon, and like you would assume that she takes that and goes right to Vernita's house. But she obviously goes to Japan for a year in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah,
Yeah.
the timelines are kind of all messed
Because
up.
does it say how long she was in a coma for?
She's in a coma for 4 years.
Yeah. Because then after, at the start of chapter two, it says 4 years and 6 months earlier.
Yes, that's
So
right.
she was in Japan for only six months.
I guess, yeah.
Because it took a month to make the sword. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was like kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Anyway, so she shows up to Vermita's and there's a fight scene right off the bat. She is, like you said, the bride is Black Mamba and Vermita is, did I write it down? Copperhead. And they just right at the bat, just a sick fight scene right at the bat. You learn that Vermita is like the kind of blade professional in this group. So they're having like a kind of a knife fight. And then I love that like the school bus shows up and her daughter gets off, who's like super cute, like her hair is so cute,
Yeah.
and just like walks in and like they put their hand behind their back and he's like, "Mom, like what happened to the living room and to you?" She's like, "Oh, that no good dog of yours got out again." And she's like, yeah, talking to her, and then like she says, like the bride says, like, "Oh, I'm blah blah," and like bleeps it out. You don't hear
Which
what it
is,
is.
it's so funny how they do that.
Yeah. So then the daughter goes upstairs to a room, and then like they're kind of like sitting there, like kind of like awkward, and then like Copperhead is like, "You want some coffee?"
Yeah.
The bride does mention that like her kid would be about 4 years old now too.
Yeah.
So they're having coffee and they're kind of talking and they're kind of calling each other bitches and stuff like that. And Vermita's like, she's not begging for her life, but like she kind of is a little bit, basically saying like, "You know, I understand why you're coming after me and you want your revenge, but like I'm a changed woman basically." And the bride basically laughs and is like, "If I wanted to get even, I would kill you, walk upstairs, kill your daughter, and then wait for her husband to get home and kill him too." And then she's like, "Bitch," or something. And then Vermita's like, "Okay, how about this? We'll meet at the baseball diamond at like 11 p.m. or something like that." And she's like getting her cereal and then like just out of nowhere just shoots and totally misses the bride. Like she could have killed her easily. And then like the bride just grabs a knife out of her boot and throws it in and kills her.
Stop. Yeah, right in the heart.
Yeah.
And then we get a sad scene because the daughter comes into the kitchen as her mother's laying on the floor. And I love this line because the bride turns around and she says, "When you're old enough, if you still hate me or something like that, if you can't get past this," and she said, "come find me and I'll be waiting." I love that.
Because like she turns around and like there's just fucking cereal everywhere, there's
Yeah.
like blood everywhere, and she sees her and she's like turns around, starts like cleaning the knife, and she's like, "I didn't want you to see that."
It's her mother's fault that she died there.
And then we already said Cottonmouth is already crossed off. She has her kill list. And she gets back into the pussy wagon. So chapter two, the blood splattered bride. 4 years and 6 months earlier, we see it goes back to the shootout where it happened, where she was getting married. And the cops are there and they're saying that was four or five people that did it. I don't think you ever find out the reason why Bill did this in this movie.
Not in this one, no.
Yeah. Because, yeah, so the bride was either married or in love with Bill together. And obviously, they had a kid together, apparently. Which, like, so did she cheat on her husband with Bill, or was it just a very, very fast marriage?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember. Like, do we find that out in the sequel?
Sure, we do,
I don't
maybe.
remember at all.
Yeah. I mean, you probably do because of what they say at the very end of the movie, right?
True.
But, yeah, so then it cuts to the bride in the hospital, and we get probably like the most memorable song possibly from this movie.
I whistle this song almost daily.
And like that remix song that came out, the rap song that came out like a few years
Yeah.
ago, like such a good song. Like it's so catchy. I can't whistle, so I can't do it, but
Yeah.
yeah. And so yeah, we see L Driver. She is dressed up as a nurse. She has an eye patch on, and her name is the California Mountain Snake, which is, I mean, sure.
It's a mouthful.
It is, it really is. But yeah, I love this like little scene. You don't really see too much of Elle in this movie. I think you do in the sequel.
Yeah.
But she has like some syringe. She's going up to the bed, and the bride's still in a coma, and she's getting ready, and she is kind of talking to the bride, saying like, "I never liked you. In fact, I despised you," probably because like maybe she was jealous of the bride being with Bill. And then she's like, "But I respect you." And then she's about to do it. The phone rings, and Bill is on the phone, and he's like, has a samurai sword there, and he is asking her like, "Where are you?" And she's like, "Oh, like I'm in front of her bed." And he's like, "Good." And then he's like, "You know, abort the mission." And you just hear like Al like screaming, like, "What are you talking about?" And he like goes on about like, "You know, we can't just kill her in her sleep like that. Like, that's gonna make our gang or whatever our hitmen look like weak, pretty much."
Yeah, give her a fighting chance, basically.
Yeah, which was probably a bad decision, but
Very bad.
so she leaves, and yeah, she wakes up and there's a metal plate in her head, and the baby is gone. Which would be, oh man,
That'd be brutal.
terrible. It would be brutal. Because at this point you think the baby just died, right? But spoiler alert, it's not dead. Apparently. So then she goes back asleep, and we see the male nurse come in, and he is with a trucker, and he is basically paying the nurse to have sex with her. And obviously, Buck is his name. He has been doing this to her for a while, I think. It's fucked up. And so the guy leaves, and he's like, "I'll be back in 20 minutes." And he's like giving like the rules and stuff like that. Has like the most disgusting looking bottle of Vaseline.
Oh man, yeah, it looked like he
It's
fucking
got like
smeared shit
fucking
all over it.
yeah, exactly.
But he's like, yeah, don't bruise her in any way, like don't choke her, don't hit her. And he tells her like, oh, it's so gross, but
Yeah.
he's like, she doesn't have anything inside, so feel free to dump a load in her.
Yeah, like her
Holy
plumbing's not
fuck.
working or something like that, he said. Yeah. Gross, man.
$75 though.
That what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's like getting on top of her, and then she just wakes up, bites his lip, and you don't see it happen, but he's like pulling his lip, and then the nurse comes in, and there's blood everywhere. The guy's on the ground dead, and she's like hiding behind him. And very Saw-like in this quick scene. Like where it was like slow-mo, like kind of down to her. It reminded me of like the last scene in the Saw. But he cuts his Achilles with a knife, and the guy falls, and then she just starts slamming his head in the door.
It's fucking brutal, man.
And she's like, "Where's Bill?" And he's like, "I don't know who fucking Bill is." And then he's like, "Please stop," because he's like dying pretty much. And then she sees he has a, is it a necklace that has his name, Buck? And
No,
then it says,
tattoo across his fingers.
okay, I know it said fuck on his knuckles, but that she like remembers all the times that he did that to her. And she's like, "Oh, is your name Buck?" And you just get to see like the look on his face, and "You like to fuck?" And then he's like, no. And then she just fucking slams his head and kills him with the door.
Yeah, so good. But she's also suffering from atrophy right now too, so her legs are not working at all just
No.
because she's been in a coma for 4 years.
Yeah.
So she's just fucking dragging herself all over the place, gets
Yeah.
herself into a wheelchair.
And like, where the fuck is the rest of the hospital, like,
Right?
workers?
Like two people have now died in this
Yeah,
room
exactly.
and not quietly either.
And she makes it over to the parking garage where his truck is, like,
Yeah.
but yeah, she gets in there and she's trying to get out to wiggle her big toe. I gotta say, she has some ugly ass feet.
I agree. I'm like, I'm not a foot guy, but like, these are not good
No.
looking feet.
No. And then she decides that she is going to go after the first name, Oren Ishii, aka Cottonmouth.
Yeah.
So chapter three, we get Oren's backstory. I don't want to say too much about this scene because it's in my category later, but that's my pick for later. But anyway,
Okay.
this whole chapter, I think, may be my favorite in the movie.
Okay. That's
Like,
fair.
I just really love how they did a whole chapter on just her backstory. Like, you know, with the rest of the characters, you don't learn really much about them. Like, I'm not sure about this, the Kill Bill Volume 2, but like, Vermita didn't learn anything really about. She has a kid. She retired, basically, from what it
Yeah.
sounds like. But Oren has this huge backstory of how she was raised, why she was like this, how she became to be the fucking leader of the Yakuza.
The Yakuza. It's
It's
fucking
like,
crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's all animated, and I think that was a genius, play by
Yeah.
him.
It was a really cool idea. And I'm with you. Like, I think it was really good how they did it.
And so the animation studio that they hired was Production IG.
Okay.
And I just want to see what else he did. So I should have been more prepared for this. He was the animation director on the Transformers animated movie.
Like Transformers 1?
No, from 86.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. See if any like older stuff. So yeah, I just love this whole chapter of way it was filmed in the animation. So we meet Boss Matsumoto, whenever Oren was very young, probably like, I don't know, like
Four.
seven, was it four?
I don't
Oh,
know.
okay,
I
I
was
don't
just, oh, nine. Sorry. She was nine.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, so Boss Matsumoto, who is the leader of the Yakuza, he you her dad was like a military general or something like that.
Yeah.
And just this animation style, like just the way that they could use this, because like there's so much fucking blood in this chapter. And I think that like they could have done it obviously because if with the fight at the end of the
They do it
movie,
later.
but just like it's brutal. Like the dad fighting the guys and he's like pounding the guy's skull into like the fucking wall and there's like blood everywhere and then the dad gets killed. There's like tons of blood splurting out. I don't know, what do you think of it?
I thought it was really good, and it's sad too because Matsumoto grabs her mother and throws her onto the bed and then fucking takes his katana and stabs her through the bed, and Oren is underneath the bed hiding, and the blade just misses her face.
Yeah.
But I feel like with turning this into animation, they're able to just do so much more with this scene.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what his thought process was with having this be animated, but it works.
So then it cuts to the next part and the narrator is like, Yeah, so Boss Matsumoto was a pedophile. And
Fortunately for
that's a, yeah, fortunately
her.
for her. And it's like, what? And then it's like at 11, she got her revenge. And it's, and then you see him like naked, not fully naked, but like in a bed, and she's like on top of him. And then she just grabs a katana and just fucking stabs him. And like he's like clenching his teeth like fucking burst out of his face. Oh, it's so gross. And then like just tons of blood, and she's just like sitting there like, ah, it's like this girl is crazy. Yeah, now she's 20 years old, and she is one of the top female assassins in the world. So now the bride is going to Okinawa, and chapter 4, Man from Okinawa. So this chapter, not much happens in it, but I like the kind of like, I don't know, the vibe, I guess. Like it's just in a small sushi shop, and like just like the camaraderie between like the bride and Hattori,
Hattori, yeah.
and then like the guy who gets sake.
So good. Why do you always get to play with the fish and I have to go get the sake? Shut your mouth, I get it.
Yeah, so she so the sushi shop, and she's pretending to be like a tourist, and she like is kind of playing with them. Like she's like, oh, I know like a couple like words, you know, like arigato and konnichiwa. And she's like kind of like playing with her, like, oh, what else do you know? And then she starts talking in Japanese, and she knows that he is Hattori Hanzo, who is a legendary katana maker for the Yakuza, I think, back in the day.
I love this scene too, because he's like, he asked her, he said, "So what are you here for?" And she said, "Oh, I'm here to see a man." And she's like, "Oh, you," he goes, "Oh, you have a friend that lives in Okinawa." And she's like, "No, I've never actually met him before." And he's like, "Well, who is it that you're looking for?" And she says, "Hattori Hanzo." And he's like doing up some sushi, and like she says that, he just immediately stops what he's doing and then like does like one of those like upward looks at her. And I'm just like, oh shit.
This
But he's
movie's
like,
like a nice like little break, kinda, because this movie is like always kind of going like with crazy shit, you know, blood and guts, but that this like is just like, I don't know, a nice little break, kinda. It's not like boring, you know, like
No, it's funny. It's like a comedic break for a few minutes and then it shit turns serious again, but
So he brings her up into kind of this like attic space, and as all of the his samurais there, and she's like looking at them, and then he comes up, and she's like, yeah, like can you give me one? And he's like, no, like I can't sell you any, because these are all like personal ones that I have kept. He's like, I retired, I don't want to make like weapons of like, not mass destruction, but like killing weapons, basically. And she's like, I didn't say sell, I said give me one. And he's like, and then she's like, because when she first comes in, she says that she has vermin to kill. And she's like, yeah, the vermin I'm looking for is your, like, you trained him, basically. And then he kind of stops, and I thought that she was talking about Oren, but then he goes up to the window and starts writing Bill into the glass,
Condensation.
yeah, or whatever it was, yeah. And then he's like, goes down the stairs, and then he's like, you can stay up here, it'll take me a month to make the sword. He's like, you better practice.
Which is wild that she's only had a month of practice. Well, I guess she was
Yeah.
an assassin before, so.
We don't know what type of assassin though, right?
Because, like, that final scene, man, like, Jesus Christ.
So chapter 5, showdown at the House of Blue Leaves. Probably the most memorable chapter slash scene of this whole
Oh,
movie.
for sure.
I forgot just how great this fucking scene is.
It's
Just
fucking intense.
Like this movie is just under 2 hours long, I think, but it does not feel like it. Like this whole last chapter, I think, is like the last like 40 minutes, maybe, or 30 minutes.
It's about that.
And I hate it, but I love it. I wish that we could get an Oren spinoff.
That'd be cool,
But
actually.
we learn so much about her in this movie and like her gang and stuff, right? So
She's
like,
a very interesting character.
So yeah, she shows up at the House of Blue Leaves, and she has a couple people with her, and like the narration is talking about like, oh, the crazy 88, her lawyer Sophie Fatale, who is like from Paris, and also her best friend, and then there's 17-year-old, 17 years old, Gogo Ubari, and we see a quick scene of her like with some guy who has fucking terrible teeth,
Oh man, they're terrible.
and like she's like drinking, and then I don't, he looked like an older guy, but I don't know, and she's like tells him like, "Do you want to have sex with me?" And he's like, yeah. And then she just fucking stabs him with the little like short samurai. And she's like, oh, it seems that I'm the one that's penetrated you, and pulls it out, just fucking guts fly
Guts fly out,
everywhere.
yeah, so good.
I would love to see like a spin-off of her, I think. And then Johnny Moe is the leader of the Crazy 88s. He is the head general, and so it's kind of talking about Oren and like how she became the head of the Yakuza, and like kind of stuff that like has happened that people have kind of trying to get in her way. So we get like a flashback of her at a meeting with like all of the heads of basically the crime lords in Japan. And Boss Tanaka is being very, he's pissed off, he's angry, and all the other ones are like, stop acting like this way, you're fucking disrespecting the leader. And then like Oren's like being super like accepting, and she's like, well, clearly he has something to say. Let's hear him out. And then he goes on about how she is like she's a Oren is a Chinese, Japanese, American, which I don't know if that's actually, I know Lucy Liu is part American, obviously, but I don't know. And then he goes off and calls her bad words. And then she just gets up, walks over like little tiny steps, and then just fucking cuts his head off.
It's like so over the top with like the blood spurt. It's just like that mist of blood that's just coming out of his neck. But she goes fucking ape shit at this part.
And then she's like, I'm gonna speak in English just to show how serious I am. And then she's like being like super calm, and at the end, and she's like, if you have anything to fucking say, like she's like, if you disagree with me, then that's fine, but the one thing you will not talk to me about is my heritage and where I came from. And she just like raises her voice a little bit, and it's like, yeah, she's fucking scary.
She is. Man,
Because
Lucy Liu is a badass.
I know. I've been browsing Prime a couple times, and Charlie's Angels keeps popping up. And I kind of want to watch it.
I know.
But yeah. So we get back to the House of Blue Leaves. We learned that Sophie Fatale was also at the when they assassinated or tried to kill the bride, because she has like a ringtone that she has, which change it, like come on.
Yeah, really.
Also love the band that was playing.
Yeah, they were like, I don't
Like
know,
there's a
like.
few songs that they play that like I remember vividly, like watching this movie like in my 20s, and there's like that like hoo 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 hoo. It's so catchy.
Yeah, it was a very upbeat band.
And I love that the bride is like makes her way up and she's wearing like this all like yellow like jacket with like matching like shoes and stuff like that.
It's
And
like the
she's like,
iconic outfit, right? That's on the cover. How you picture her.
So she's like listening outside of like their little like room thing. And then like they're all like talking, like jerking off and like joking. And then
Jerking
oh,
off.
I didn't mean to say that. I'm jerking or whatever.
They're not jerking
No,
off.
I mean that one guy was actually laying down. He
Oh, yeah,
wasn't like
true.
actually, but he was like faking it. I mean, getting off topic. But they're all joking around and then like out of nowhere, like Oren like perks up and like looks over and just throws a fucking like dart out of the thing and she's like, go go, like check it out. And then Gogo comes out and like she looks so fucking badass, man.
Yeah, she
Like
does.
she's like looking around and the bride's like up top hiding. So then she goes into the bathroom, she's like chained over like her like leather yellow part, and then I love that like the owners of this establishment, they like get up there and like the 88s are like, you remind me of someone. And then he's like, oh, I don't want to say it like he does because it's, but he's like, Charlie Brown. It's like, he does look like Charlie Brown.
That shirt is 100% a Charlie Brown
And
shirt.
he's bald too. So,
Yeah,
like,
it's perfect.
and so then the bride captures Sophie, and you're in the room with, Oren, and all you hear is like Oren Ishii, and then like all the doors open, the guys come out and like they slam the door, and then you see like Oren like just come around like just fucking casual, and Gogo is there too, and it's just a sick scene. I just love this scene, man. And then the bride decides to cut off Sophie's arm. And she just blood coming out of nowhere. And she just screaming. It cuts off.
At this point, like, what's her name? Oren. She just like keeps telling more people to go,
Yeah.
like, to go
Because
and kill the
like
bride.
all that's there right now is like a few of the people who were in there with her. And so like they're going down and she like cuts a guy's like sword in half and she's just fighting like, I don't know, like seven guys at this point. And like is fucking him up, right? And then like I think Johnny leaves, and then we get our girl Gogo. So what do you think of this? Too short of a fight, I think,
Was way too short.
for her to be the bodyguard of Oren, who probably doesn't need a bodyguard to be
No,
honest.
she doesn't.
But what do you think of this fight? Explain yeah, what happened?
I thought it was sick. So, like, she's slowly, Gogo's slowly walking down the stairs. And she's got this, like, a mace, like, what were they called back in the day? Not a mace, but it was like the ball and chain thing.
Yeah, and
But
she's in like a schoolgirl outfit too.
And, like, her chain is, like, the chain's really long.
Yeah.
And she starts fucking spinning it around and, like, smashes it into the wall. And I think she. Yeah, that's why she swings it at the bride's head and she
Yeah.
uses a table leg as like a baseball bat
Yeah.
and fucking smacks it
Yeah.
back at her. And
Yeah.
then Gogo dodges it, but it bounces off the wall and cracks her in the back of the head.
Yeah.
One thing about the scene, when she was spinning that thing around, she actually hit Tarantino in the head with it.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like right beside the camera.
Was it like actual like made out of metal, like a
No, it's.
legit?
It's got to
Oh,
be a
okay.
prop.
It's true. But then like during this whole fight, the bride is like telling her like, you're fucking young, like why are you guarding the fucking head of Yakuza? And like Gogo's just like laughing and stuff like this, and
She's young, but she's psychotic.
she is, and I love that it changes into like fucking blades like pop out of it, like on fucking
Phantasm.
cab or on Cabin in the Woods, like the fucking
Oh,
like
yeah.
the blade ball.
Yeah.
But she almost kills the bride, right? Because
Yeah,
like
she
she has her
does.
choked up, and then the bride ends up grabbing like a broken table leg and just smacking her in the side of the head with it, and like fucking blood comes out of her eyes. It's,
Yeah,
yeah.
because it had nails coming out of it, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But it definitely was too short of a fight scene.
There's a couple nitpicks I have of this movie, specifically this fight and then the Oren fight. I just felt was very underwhelming. But
She spent so long
we'll
fighting
talk
all
about that
these.
in a sec. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So we're like, okay, it's done, and nope, here comes the crazy 88. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this soul scene, but
I think, like, I don't think we can do anything really specific.
no.
It's just like a solid 15 minutes of her destroying like 100 guys.
Yeah, so it starts out in color,
Yeah.
and then she's surrounded. She fucking pokes a guy's eye out,
Yeah.
and as soon as she pulls it out, it turns to black and white. And I love that decision by Tarantino.
Yeah.
Because there's so many limbs getting cut off, there's so much blood. I mean, like, what's a couple points that stood out to you that you remember from this whole fight scene?
There's
Any good? Yeah, go ahead.
one that I can't say right now, but
Okay.
it's gonna come up later. I don't know, like a lot of it, she's just like fucking spinning around. Like there's one point where she kills three guys in one fucking swoop of her knife,
Yeah.
and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she throws a hatchet at one guy.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
And
'Cause he throws it
then
at her first.
he throws it at her and she dodges it, goes into another guy,
Yeah.
and all the
Pulls
guys are like
it
looking around like,
out
fuck.
of his head. She pulls it out of his head and then throws it at the other
Yeah. I want to say a couple, but I have a feeling that the one that you're talking about,
I don't know.
there's
Mine's like, it's pretty low key, but it was so fucking sick.
okay, there's one where before she goes upstairs and fights the last guys in the room, she's surrounded by like at least 25 guys,
Yeah.
and she just starts fucking breakdancing in the middle of the thing. She's spinning around and she's cutting guys' feet off, like legit at their ankle, and guys are just going down. And then I love the one where she gets on a guy's shoulders and she's like cutting guys, and then she cuts one guy and she does a Chelsea smile on him, and he turns around and he's just like, ah, fucking great.
I love how it all finishes too, because there's like three of them that are like in a single file. And she kills the first one, kills the third one, and then the last one, and the lights come on at this point. That's the last guy, and he's just like kind of standing there. He's just like a young kid and he's holding the fucking samurai sword. And she cuts it into three different spots. And like I can't remember what she says. But she fucking bends him over and smacks him in the ass with her katana.
Yeah, I love this scene too, because the main, like the girl, she turns the lights out to try and get them out of there probably. And I love like the like dark blue from this scene too. But yeah, the
Yeah, because
lights come
it
on
turns it
and
into like silhouettes.
yeah. And then she turns the lights on, just like this really young guy. Yeah, she spanks him, is like, go back to your mother and stop, messing with the Yakuza. But then Johnny Mo shows up. His fight was pretty cool too, because like they're doing like kind of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type shit. Like he just fucking can like jump up like 20 feet and just like climb up the, but they're like on like the railing, like balancing, and he's like has these two short, I don't even know what they are, but he's like doing circles and swipe at her and like yelling, and then she just like swipes and cuts off both his legs.
And she throws him over the railing too.
And so then it cuts to a wide shot of the destruction, and there's just lots of moaning and blood going on. And she is like, she yells and she's like, you all can leave or something. And then she's like, but leave your limbs behind. They are mine now. And then you see like Sophie like trying to get up, and then the bride is like, except for you, Sophie. or something.
Stay where the fuck you are. And I love the female owner of the, like, what is this, like a bar?
Something like
And
that. Yeah,
she
basically, yeah.
just like stands up in the midst of all this, and she's like slipping around on all the blood, and she's just like crying. She's like, oh.
So then she makes it outside to fight Oren. There's another kind of complaint that I have about this movie is I think this fight was underwhelming. And like this is already split up into two movies, so like add an extra 30 minutes to this movie, like I probably wouldn't even care, to be honest.
No. Even just extend this fight like another 10,
Yeah.
15 minutes. That's it.
Like it's a very cinematic and kind of personable fight, like more so than I think Vermita's fight. Because like it's quiet. There's like a little like wooden like water thing that keeps making a noise through the whole thing. And yeah, they're kind of like going at it and then like they kind of stop and then like they kind of I know what they agreed on. Something. I don't know if I can find what she says.
Well, because Oren asks where she got the sword from, and she says it's Hattori's, and she doesn't believe her, and then she like unsheathes it just like a little bit to show his like symbol. And then
Oh, yeah.
she basically like accuses her of stealing it, and then they fight for a little bit, and she's Oren slashes her in the back, and you think that she's gonna die.
I think Oren says, silly Caucasian girl likes to play with samurai swords.
That's what it was,
You may not be able to fight like a samurai, but you can at least die like a samurai. And then the bride says, attack me with everything you have. And they kind of go at each other. And Oren's like back is to her, and the bride like slashes like across her back. And then she kind of stopped, and then like the bride hits her again and like fucking scalps her.
Fucking and it happens so fast you don't know what exactly happens, but you just see like this chunk of hair go flying through and lands in the snow, and you're just like,
I had to rewind it.
what'd she do? Just like fucking cut some of her hair off? And then it zooms, like she's talking and she's like, everything I said, like doubting you, she's like, I apologize. And then it zooms out, and the top of her head is fucking cut clear off, and you can see her brain. Fucking wild.
Do you think Elrond threw that fight?
I never thought of that. Maybe.
I mean, probably not, but
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what her reasoning would be if she did.
because we don't really know how long she has been the leader of the Yakuza, right?
It's not very long because they were just talking about it in that room.
So that scene with her cutting the guy's head off, that was recent then?
I feel like, yeah. Because, I mean, her bodyguard, like, none of them, I don't know.
Was Gogo there? Or was it just Sophie at that?
No, Gogo was there too because she kind of smiles on her if she cuts the guy's head off.
Right, okay. Then never mind. Okay. I don't
So I
know. I
feel
feel
like.
like, yeah. Because, like, the bride has been practicing for a month, and Oren has been doing this since she was 9 years old
She's one of the best
or
assassins in the
11.
world. That's a fair point. But like at the same time, maybe because like she, because like a samurai code, right, is like you fight face to face with swords or hand to hand. Like you don't sneak up on people, you don't kill them from afar, you fight them face to face. So maybe she feels like Bill did the bride dirty with how she was killed. Air quotations. I don't know.
Anyway, we can continue this conversation. We do Kill Bill Volume 2 in 2 years. So then she ends up leaving this place, and she pulls up at the hospital, and she opens her trunk, and Sophie is in there, and she basically tells Sophie, "I left you alive for two reasons. One, so you can tell Bill what happened here, and then I'm coming after. And then what was the second reason? Oh, she wants information on the deadly vipers. I think that was like the two reasons. And then she fucking throws her down this fucking
I
hill,
love it.
and then it cuts to her like in the hospital, and Bill is there behind her, and she tells Bill exactly what the bride said, like, she left me alive for two reasons. So do you think that Sophie did tell her about the rest of them? I mean,
Well,
probably
yeah, I do because
because she kills for Mita, right?
well, not only that, but she also says to Bill, I'm sorry for betraying you. Like,
Yeah.
that's the first thing that she says to him.
Because the bride was going to cut off
All of her limbs.
and ones that she like would regret not having or something.
She's already lost an arm.
True. And then is it Bill that says her daughter is still alive, or is it
Yeah,
Sophie?
it's Bill. He says, is she aware that her daughter's still alive?
Yeah. Mic drop.
Yeah, spoiler alert, she is not aware.
Cool. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
Fucking does it ever. All right. We know that you love this movie,
Yeah.
but how did you rate it?
So I haven't watched this since before Letterboxd, but I did have it rated on Letterboxd, and I had it a 4, but I bumped it up to a 4.5.
Okay.
I think this movie is just so good. I can't quite give it 5 stars. I don't know why, but I don't think it's as rewatchable for me. Like, I don't think I could watch this like once a year, like maybe every couple of years, maybe. But like, just everything about this movie is fantastic. We've talked a lot about it, but like, the way it was shot, the writing, the dialogue, the acting, the cinematography, like, this movie is just great. The soundtrack and score is just amazing. I really don't know any bad things to say about it, to be honest.
Yeah, you had your nitpicks. Well,
Oh yeah, I guess a
with the fights
couple.
and shit.
Exactly. But yeah, so 4.5 out of 5.
That's fair. I also gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
When we were talking at work, about what our favorite Tarantino movie is, I had brought up, I said, I feel like Kill Bill is probably his most popular. And my buddy
Yeah.
at work was like, yeah, but like, can you really say that it's your favorite movie of his? And I got thinking, I'm like, no, I can't. So I can't give it a 5.
What is your favorite as of right now?
As of right now, I would probably say Django.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, yeah, 4.5 out of 5. I think I've already said it. Tarantino's a fucking visionary. And I think that, I don't know, I'm upset that we're only going to get one more movie out of him.
Yeah.
But just like every aspect of his movies, like he just goes through them with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that movie watchers get the love that he puts into these movies. 'Cause he's a fucking movie fan, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Like he loves cinema, and you can tell that he loves it in the way that he makes movies.
Yeah.
He makes movies that he knows people want to watch.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the soundtrack, every song is just like perfectly curated for every scene in this movie. The script is amazing. The fight choreography is like next level.
Yeah.
I love the editing and the visuals in this. And yeah, the only like, I agree with your nitpicking with some of the fight scenes. And I feel like we've already talked about it too, but like the timeline is, it's fucking weird, man, the way that the timeline works out in this movie. So, not my favorite Tarantino movie, but it's probably a top three.
Yeah.
What you looking for?
I'm just seeing who was the stunt coordinator on this movie.
Lucy Liu.
No. Yeah, so Keith Av Adams was the stunt coordinator on this.
Okay.
He also did did the stunts on The Suicide Squad, which was the remake.
Okay.
He's a stunt performer, a lot of things, but he was the stunt coordinator in this. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Den of Thieves.
Nice.
He was a stunt driver in The Fate of the Furious.
Okay.
He was a stunt driver in Mad Max Fury Road. Yeah, not too many stunt coordinator ones, but anyway.
We did a good job in this one.
Yeah.
All right. You guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus: Kill Bill is admittedly little more than a stylish revenge thriller, albeit one that benefits from a wildly inventive survey of style. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I know it's high. Say 95.
Oof, not that high.
Oh, okay.
85.
85. Wow, okay.
Yeah. That's on 238 reviews. The audience score is an 81% on 250,000 ratings. Average score 3.4 out of 5, or a 6.8 out of 10,
Wow.
which is wildly low.
Yeah. Because Letterboxd is a lot higher than that.
Yes, it is.
So Letterboxd has a 4.2 out of 5, and that is on, Jesus Christ, 3.49 million watches.
Jesus.
It has.
Wow.
Well, that's not 3.49 million people. That's just how many people have watched
Yeah.
and rated it.
Yeah.
So yeah, 4.2, very high.
That is very high.
Let's see. Our buddy Alan gave it a 3, but I think that is just his.
It's
I'll
gotta be
plug that in
just,
there.
yeah, it's default.
Nathan gave it a 4.5, same as us. Tawny gave it a 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Anthony gave it a 5 out of 5. Scream and Cinema 4 out of 5. That's it.
Not bad. All right. Well, in that case, it's time for our
Cunning Stunts.
And how did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I would give the stunts in this movie a, I'll say an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I want to go higher, but it's really all the same stuff. Like, there's nothing really out there like some of the other movies that we've done.
Okay.
Like, it's all the same stuff, really, kind of. Like, it's just her whipping a sword around, cutting people's heads off and limbs. Like, there was a couple like see like stunts in the last scene where like people are running up the walls and stuff like that, but I don't know. So I go 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Stunt I would like to try. I think I had one last night, but I'll go with oh yeah, it was trying to whip fucking Go-Go's little mace chain thing. Try and like whip that around. Try and get good at that.
Yeah.
Try not to hit my boss in the head with it. Yeah, I'll go with that.
All
Little
right.
Go-Go's mace ball thing.
That's fair. Favorite stunt.
Oh, I think I mixed those up.
He did, but
Favorite stunt. Okay. I had a choice, but it's not really a stunt because it's animated, so it's like not, I don't know. I just really like the Oren animated scene. Especially we get that like fight with her dad fighting these guys and like just fucking totally destroying them. And then just like this like gross looking, like white suited, like long haired guy just like is cocky as shit and just kills the dad. And then when he's like leaving, he like shoots like stylistically like the alcohol bottle and then like
Oh yeah.
and then sees like the cigarette ash and just like fucking spins and drop kicks the cigarette ash and lights the room on fire.
Yeah.
that guy's fucking cool as shit. Yeah, it's not really like a stunt, but just it was animated, right? So like, I don't know. I just went with that whole chapter.
That's fair.
Oh, and we didn't even get talk about fucking her sniping the guy from like
Yeah.
500 feet away.
Through a fucking limo window where you can't see shit.
Yeah.
I
Anyway.
love that scene too, 'cause you get like the it's animated, but like it's a shot of through his head and you just see the two girls that he's with like looking and they start screaming, but they're like peeking through the hole in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I rated the stunts a 10, but I
Okay.
maybe I do agree with you that yeah, I'll drop it down to a 9. I'll
That's
drop it down to
fair.
a 9 because it's not anything like high flying or crazy for a lot of it, but I mean the fight choreography is fucking awesome,
Yeah.
and a lot of these kills are pretty artistic and
Yeah.
I don't know, like innovative, I guess. My favorite stunt, it's a very small scene during the silhouette part of the bar fight.
Okay, yeah.
She cuts a guy's arm off. And
Okay.
he's holding a katana in that arm, cuts his arm off, and then grabs his whole arm, still holding the katana, and then stabs another guy with it. And it's so small and like so quick, but when it happened,
Yeah.
I was like, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And stunt I want to try. I think I said this during our Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon episode, but like I just want to have a fraction of the skill that these people have, man.
Yeah.
Like just to be like I don't know, like give me a fucking katana and let me like spin it around and shit, just I don't know,
Yeah.
I don't have the coordination, I'd end up fucking scalping my own head, but
Yeah.
I just feel like it'd be really cool, and he looks so badass too.
Yeah.
Right, it's getting late, we'll
It
wrap this
is.
up.
Yeah.
It's my pick for the next episode.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be our oldest, not oldest filmed, but like oldest of when it takes place movie that we've ever done.
Okay.
Where are we doing The Northmen?
Oh shit, dude, I've been meaning to pick this one.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was on IMDb and I like categorized it into action movies. And I was just like, I
Yeah.
haven't watched The Northmen since it came out.
I
And
think, yeah. I
I'm
thought
due
I
for a
had it on
rewatch.
4K, but I don't. I think I've only seen it in, since theaters, pretty much.
Yeah, I watched it on VOD whenever it came out, like
Yeah.
on streaming. But yeah, I'm gonna buy the 4K
Yeah,
for the episode for sure.
I
But
think I will too.
yeah.
Nice, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. First Robert Eggers movie too.
On this podcast, yeah.
Yeah, the only one that we're probably gonna do on this podcast.
Probably.
All right, but yeah, anyways, thanks for listening. Catch us on social media at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. And come back in a couple weeks where we'll be talking about The Northmen.
Yes. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.